The 37th gene key. The transformational way of the 37th gene key moves from weakness to tenderness, and it's the way of equality. This gene key has some really interesting insights for us to ponder. In many ways, it's driving a lot of the social changes that we see occurring in our modern civilization. As individual freedom breaks out and basic human rights are recognized as more and more important, we're seeing a shift in the balance between the masculine and the feminine poles. The feminine is reviving itself after many long centuries of neglect, and the masculine is softening and transforming at a whole new level. It's taking time. But this process is discussed in the 37th Gene Key in my book, in the Gene Keys book, but it's also taking place inside each of us, and that's what I'd like to get into as we explore this 37th transformational way. In the West, it was really Carl Jung who opened up the notion of the individual having these two male and female poles inside us. He called them the animus and the anima, the inner male and the inner female. And a healthy life is about having a balance, maintaining a balance between them. So weakness, the 37th shadow, is what occurs whenever we lose this balance. Essentially, weakness is the result of an unconscious belief that we're powerless. The fact is that we're not all born equal, even though we are equal. So this is a paradox. You know, some people are born with physical disability or illness that seems to set them apart. Others are born into lives of severe lack or into oppressive cultures or poverty. And then there are those of us who are born into lives of privilege, with opportunity, with freedom, with choices. So when we look at the world, it doesn't really seem that fair. It doesn't seem as though we are equal. Yet, you know, the gene keys are all about genius. And genius is where we're equal. We're equal to the task that we're given, but only if we don't cave in. And the dilemma of the 37th shadow is submission. And we have to learn that we each have a different route towards discovering fortitude, towards the embodiment of our genius. So we each have equal opportunities in consciousness. That's the point. Wherever we are and whoever we are, we always have this opportunity to overcome the shadow inside that believes that we're weak. So the real question is, are we living a life worth living? Are we taking the bull by the horns and meeting life halfway? Or are we submitting to the victim inside us? You know, have we given up on ourselves? Have we given up on our great inner dreams? Have we settled for less than we're worthy of? You know, it's been said that genius requires boldness. And this is absolutely true. You know, are we proud of the life we're living? You know, and this isn't about achievement. It's important not to make that mistake. Outer achievement doesn't necessarily denote a life of genius. Genius is rooted in self-love. It's rooted in surrender rather than submission. And you might think that those two terms are the same, but actually they are worlds apart. You know, think about yourself in your life. You know, where would you say that you are weak? You know, where are your weaknesses? Because we're only weak through our own perception. And what we see as weakness, well, it's really an opportunity for growth, for maturity, for prosperity. So the very area of your being that you consider the weakest is actually the place where you can be the strongest, where you can thrive the most. So I'd like us to really think about ourselves and our lives through this gene key. You know, this gene key is all about the archetype of the family. Well, who's the troubled or the troublesome member of your family? Who's the weakest link? You know, we have this cliched saying that any group is only as strong as its weakest link. Well, I'd like us to consider the reverse, that actually the perceived weakest link in the group is actually the binding force of the group. And we can apply this to our own lives. You know, which area do we struggle in the most? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it health? Is it family? Well, that's the area that you can potentially bring the whole of your life into a higher harmony through that area. But it takes work. You know, we have to be equal to the task. The 37th shadow gives up. It submits to fate. It bows its head and it succumbs to what it considers the inevitable. So it's a victim stance. And people all over the world are addicted to their victim beliefs. You know, we will even fight to stay a victim. Isn't that incredible? You know, a victim of these religious beliefs or these whatever the beliefs are. You'll fight to stay a victim. So this shadow runs deep in the genome. You know, genetically, we're used to submission. You know, our cultures, many of them have bred this fear of independence into us. So when we submit to our own weakness, we collapse into exhaustion. And that's the shadow of the 40th gene key, which is the programming partner of the 37th. And there's healthy exhaustion, but then there's fatigue. And healthy exhaustion is the fulfilling feeling we have when we've thoroughly expended our creative energy on a worthwhile task. Whereas fatigue is the sapping of our life force due to a loss in enthusiasm or a lack of higher purpose. So the answer is to fight for our genius, not to give in to our inner demons. You know, find our weakest link instead of pushing it away into some dark corner. You know, that's what we need to face and that's what we need to accept, but not assume that it's a dead end street. You know, assume the opposite. Assume that your weakest link hides a great power and give awareness to unlocking that power and its potential. That's the true way to deep integrated self-love. The 37th gift, equality. So what happens when we unlock this hidden power? This is the domain of the gifts, and the gift frequency always brings balance and equality. You know, we witness the animus and the anima coming into balance, and they begin a courtship. We really have to look at ourselves as a relationship. You know, we have yin and yang aspects. We have a sharp intellect, that's yang. We have an intuitive heart, that's yin. We have determination and resolve, that's yang. And we have flexibility and openness, that's yin. We have a fathomless inner well of silence and depth, all of us, that's yin. And we have a vivacious, rebellious enthusiasm, that's yang. And sometimes our life energy dips and we feel withdrawn and perhaps melancholic, that's yin. And sometimes we're happy and crazy for no real reason, that's yang. You see, we're just this rippling field of contradictory forces, male and female. So just as with outer relationships, we need this balance, this equality. And if one pole is oppressive and the other submissive, we're out of balance and we're weak. And if one pole is wounded and repressed, then the other will carry all the weight. And again, we're weak. You see, weakness is about imbalance. The poles have to be brought into balance. And then the gift of equality, that's the genius for facilitating balance on all levels. So when we manifest this inner equality, we also bring it out into the world. And the 37th gift will always find itself in the heart of communities or families, bringing cohesion to some weakened area, some weakest link, some weakened strata of society. The 37th gift helps others overcome their weaknesses and helps them towards greater independence and freedom. And that's why the 37th gift is such a healthy energy for any community. You know, it's a strange paradox in a way that we come to equality through inequality. And by catalyzing others towards greater rebelliousness and independence, we actually create a more powerful linkage in the world. And this is the secret to good parenting. You know, we help the child become more independent. We help them unlock their gifts. And in doing so, it seems that we're helping them to move further away. But actually, the opposite is true. Freedom engenders loyalty. Sometimes the gift of equality has to step back from a relationship in order that the other becomes stronger on their own. And the core of the 37th gift is about support. You know, we support the tree when it's young, and then it stands strong on its own. And it may not formally thank us, but it will always somewhere feel grateful to us. You know, I have this memory of my English teacher when I was young, and he was a really hard man. He was a disciplinarian, old style. But he loved his subject, and his love for it was evident. And he sparked my love of language. He provided the structure and the support that I needed, even though I didn't realize it at the time. I often think of him and I feel great gratitude towards him because he taught me an invaluable lesson. And I've tried to pass it on to my children and encompass it in these teachings. And part of my gratitude has been to pay it forward. The 37th Gene Key is all about paying it forward. You know, this terrific force of goodwill that lies in every human being. The enthusiasm, the optimism, the warmth of human beings. And the 37th Gene Key has these qualities in spades. It's connected to the archetype of the goddess, the hearth, the home. But it's not only about women. It's about supporting oneself and others in excelling. And to excel, we have to break out of our own self-indulgent, I'm not good enough belief structures. We have to snap out of our victim frequency, and that takes some inner strength, but it often also needs support. And the 37th gift is never too proud to ask for help. It knows that there are others who have gifts that it doesn't, and it calls upon them when it needs them. And that's the foundation of any healthy community. But it doesn't lean on others beyond a certain point. That's important. You know, it's like these therapists who want us to keep coming back. You know, a good therapist doesn't want us to come back. They want to get rid of us. They may have to put us through a program, but at the end of that, they'll encourage us to go back into the world. You know, we have far greater strength than we realize, we human beings. Most of the time, we're just too scared to pull ourselves up. We become too conformist. We get stuck in processing our stuff instead of getting on with the job of being a creative rebel. You know, genius has boldness in it. To live a worthwhile life, a life we'll be proud of at the end, we are going to have to transform our weaknesses into our strengths. We're going to have to overcome our tendency to believe that we're incapable, and we'll have to join in with the human race, you know. Life is a race. It's a race for higher consciousness, and our opponent is time. And we can't win the race, but we can let it fill us with vigor. And with the urge to help others, and with the enthusiastic surge of well-being that comes from living a life with true purpose and deep inner equality and balance. The 37th city, tenderness. So the purpose of all life is to come to rest in our essence. You know, everything manifests its own unique obliqueness, you know, the creative edge that sets it apart from all else. Life is a celebration of difference, of the unpeeling waves of consciousness as they break upon the soft shores of the earth. There must always be an earth. Even when the physical shell of our earth is long gone, folded up into the chrism of the sun's passionate fire, the essence of the earth will remain. You know, the earth is an archetype, a resonant symbol of home for all that appears to be separate. And when we die, we fall into the earth's embrace. And in the very split second that we die, another version of us reemerges to follow the same curving mystery of life. Always there's the essence, and the 37th city stands as a reminder of the essence from which we emerge and into which one day we shall fall. And tenderness is the heart of our universal mother. In the original I Ching, the 37th hexagram is seen as representing the archetype of the family. There's a natural equality that holds a family in resonance. And there's an overarching intelligence in the family that goes far beyond the individuals present. Because at the heart of the family is the mother. And the mother is the earth and the ground that allows the father to expand his influence outwards in service to the world. The mother is also the place of infinite tenderness, where all members of the family can return to rest and remember their essence and purpose. So more even than a single person, the mother is a feeling. She's a feeling of safety and trust that allows all human beings to excel. The 37th city speaks into this great mystery of the mother essence. The family also is a great symbol of the future possibilities of humanity. When we come together as families, then we have enormous strength and potential. You know, a single unified family could bring down a government. The beginning of collective consciousness will spring from the unit of the family. And the interconnecting of integrated families all over the globe will generate a wave of tender power and love whose force will be unstoppable in its transformational power. So family is symbolized by blood, close genetic relationship. But in a way, that's just a symbol, because we're all related genetically, and it doesn't matter how immediate that relationship is. True family can spring up in any small group of people, no matter how diverse their DNA. It's a collective essence that through its suffering finds a common bond. You know, in the time to come, these small units of people will begin to emerge all over the world. Our future consciousness will begin in small groupings of people who are mysteriously drawn together for some form of higher purpose. And the city of tenderness can only really be felt through this group consciousness. It can't emerge in isolation, because it's the glue that brings us together as one. So as individuals explore their genius, so they engage the universal force of synchronicity, which places them in a greater context alongside the allies of their genius. You know, one kind of genius usually requires others in order to complete its highest potential. And even a small net of genius can change the whole world. If we're contemplating this gene key, and in particular its city, think about your highest potential, your higher purpose. How can it best be of service? What qualities does your genius need to come to its zenith? What qualities complete you? Somewhere out there are your blood brothers and sisters. And we can only come together when the male and female poles inside us come into balance. And in the Gene Key's golden path, this is what happens as we transition from the Venus sequence into the pearl. The pearl is the goal of consciousness. It's our harvest. We unite our cities in a creative explosion of higher consciousness. But first, we have to come together into our own tender heart. And that's the importance of the Venus sequence, to ignite our mother essence, our divine wound. The 37th city is one of four gene keys forming a codon group known as the Ring of Divinity, and its partners are compassion, grace, and truth, 36th, 22nd, and the 63rd gene keys. So quite a package in this one. This codon ring, it orchestrates our higher evolution. It will take us to our final evolutionary zenith, and it will do this through uniting us in creative service to the whole. The 37th gene key is made up of two trigrams, sub-symbols represented by elements. And these elements are fire and wind. And these are the ingredients, if you think about it, of a forest fire. And this is what the city of tenderness is. In the shadow, we began with weakness. And to many, tenderness seems to be a weak force. And that's because it isn't designed to manifest in isolation. Tenderness is a collective fire, engendered through mutual compassion and fanned by the winds of grace and carrying the transformational power of truth. The future will emerge in such a subtle way that we won't ever even notice it's happened. The world is already changing as powerful pockets of tender truth place themselves in service to the whole. You know, one more thing I came across in my contemplation of this 37th city. I was walking through a Saturday market recently, and I found myself looking into people's eyes. And wherever I went, I just looked only into people's eyes. You know, it's a wonderful practice. It was a beautiful morning. The sun was shining. The market was alive and murmuring with trade and friendly chatter, as markets around the world are. What I felt, though, was this city. I felt the tenderness passing from person to person through the eyes, And of course, not everyone was carrying it in that moment, but as a whole, it was moving through the community. And I followed my contemplation of this afterwards, and this is the insight that dropped in for me. These cities are so near the surface. All it takes is the right environment, and up they come. You know, the problem is that we've created an environment based on fear and greed and ambition and hunger and lack. Imagine if we took money away from humanity. You know, imagine if we found a way to feed ourselves through small doses of highly nutritious nano pills, you know? Imagine if we didn't need to worry about food or energy or money. And imagine that we've created an environment based on beauty, relaxation, and creativity. I tell you, these cities would just bob up to the surface. Imagine everyone was able to simply live out their higher purpose without stress or compromise. The city of tenderness would spread like wildfire throughout humanity, rebuilding bonds of long-forgotten trust and healing rifts between races. It wouldn't take much for these higher qualities to emerge. They're already in our nature. So this codon ring is really just waiting for its time. And in the end, grace will have its day. It's extraordinary what we find when we look deeply into the codes within our DNA. You know, we never really stood a chance against these higher forces. The shadow was just the beginning. So it's only a matter of time. And who knows how long this will all take to work itself out. Does it really matter? I don't think so. When something's inevitable, all you have to do is align yourself to it. And then you get swept along by the tide. And your life will be a whole load easier. So if you're reading or listening to this, why not just let go and allow yourself to be swept along by the tide and enjoy the ride?